Hey, everybody, and welcome to Wife Me Up. I'm your host, Megan Faulkner, and I love hanging out with you here in podcast land. It is so fun to chat, learn, and hear stories together. I'm so glad that you're here. It's Thursday, February 15th, and today we are in the middle of a four-week series on relationships. We're talking about all different kinds of relationships in these episodes. How exciting! I don't want anyone to feel excluded. Remember that it's just me and you for these next few weeks with a lot of listener feedback and input, but we have no particular guests and no interview. So just grab your coffee or your beverage of choice, and we are going to chat like the friends that we are. We're going to dive right into it today. But before we do, remember, Wife Me Up is for the unmarried person who wants to feel like they're a part of the club. It's for the married person who has anyone unmarried in their life. It's for the dating, the engaged, the enraged, and every kind of person in between. My hope is that this show will provide a little humor, a lot of fun ideas, and ways that we can all be a little more connected to each other's stories. To not isolate or assume, but to engage and ask. To tell stories, to share ideas, and to, as often as possible, create things for others to enjoy. Because what actually is life if it's not shared? Let's keep talking about our relationships. Well, happy Thursday, February 15th, the day after Hallmark's favorite holiday, Valentine's Day, and the day after Ash Wednesday. Wow, a lot happened yesterday, didn't it? So here's something interesting. Week two of this series was actually going to be on something else, but I posted this little quote the other day just to my socials. I think maybe my Facebook, my personal Facebook, and an Instagram story, because I loved it. And honestly, it was pretty validating. This quote was pretty validating for something I was going through. And then I got a ton of response on it, a ton of feedback about it. So I thought maybe we should take a few minutes in this episode today and talk about some relational conflict. It seems to be a topic that a lot of us need to address. So I thought we could do that together. It's not the most exciting topic, but it has been made pretty clear to me that this is something that we need to talk about. So my guess is that if you are a human being with a heartbeat, that you've been in some kind of relational conflict in your life, maybe it's a breakup, either mutual or one-sided, or a conflict with your boss or your siblings, your parents, your children. Maybe you and your friend got into an argument and you don't know how to recover. Maybe you're super mad at someone who's in leadership and an organization in your workplace, in your church, and a place that you have high respect for because of a situation, or you may or may not be involved with this situation that's bringing you some turmoil and you're losing some respect and therefore there's some conflict. Maybe you, I don't know, have someone that you love who made some choices that deeply affected you in a negative way and you're just trying to sift through it. So all that to say, there could be any number of places and reasons that relational conflict occurs. And the question that we're going to answer today is not why. We know why conflict occurs, right? People are people. But the question that we're going to answer is what now? What do we do now that conflict has occurred? And what's interesting is that this post spurred all of this on. It just said one really simple sentence that I think was just really validating to people, but I never intended to get so much feedback on it. And when I tell you that people were sliding into my DMs and text messages and even stopping me in my local coffee shop, I mean, it was a wild few days. Okay, so the post said this. It said, as bad as you want to address it, sometimes it's best to let God defend you. He saw too. Relational conflict is a given, you guys, because we're alive. We have heartbeats and brains, and we say words and we do things that are going to hurt other people, maybe intentionally or unintentionally. And I think that what was resonating with people so much in this little quote, this little two-sentence quote, as bad as you want to address it, sometimes it's just best to let God defend you. He saw too. And that's what I think was so validating to other people. He saw too. So oftentimes when there's conflict, we want so badly to be right, and we want so badly to have a quick resolution, we forget that God is our greatest defender and that He sees the situation too. There's three sides to conflict, as far as I see it, three sides to relational conflict. You're welcome to disagree with me. Side one is that you are responsible for the conflict. Side two is that the other person is responsible for the conflict. And side three is that both sides are responsible for the conflict. And I think that we could probably all agree we've been in similar situations to all of these things. I could be responsible for the conflict. Someone else could be responsible for the conflict, or we're both equally responsible for the conflict. So we're going to kind of work through this. Let's talk about what to do if we are responsible for the relational conflict. It's very simple, y'all. And you're not going to like it, but we have to just make it right. We have to be quick to apologize. Our ego keeps us from doing this more, but you guys, we have to. If we are the person who hurt another, we have to apologize to them. Listen to me. Make the phone call, send the card, shoot the text, do whatever you have to do. I'm not saying we need to be in relationship with this person again, but we cannot live in the existence of conflict. If we were the person who was in the wrong, there is no reason that we can't just boss up and handle it except for our ego. Imagine a world where we actually made things right and quickly. Imagine how much less pain and how much less wondering and how much less anxiety there would be in the world. So just go make it right. Don't delay. We don't have to engage this. This is going to be a little controversial, but again, I don't really care. We don't have to engage in restoration if the relationship is over. Maybe our conflict is with a prior boss or a friend or an ex who was bad for us, whatever, whoever. But we do have to engage in reconciliation, right? So you can reconcile without restoring this relationship to its fullest or what it used to be. There's no reason not to reconcile. Make it right. We can't delay. We have to do it today. We don't know what a simple apology, if we're wrong, we don't know what a simple apology will do in the heart or the life of someone else. In Japan, there's an art of repairing broken pottery, and it's called kintsugi. I'm probably saying that wrong, but I'm not Japanese. The words kin mean gold and stugi means joinery. They literally mean to join with gold. So in Eastern cultures, they believe that just because a vessel, so like a vase or a bowl or a cup, becomes damaged or broken, it doesn't mean that that item loses its beauty, its value, or its importance. They believe that these things could still attract our respect and attention, and they're repaired with enormous care. The shattered pieces should be carefully picked up, reassembled, and then glued together with this lacquer that's inflected with the most expensive gold powder. So when these cracks and crevices are filled with this gold lacquer, there is no way to disguise the damage. And that's the whole point of kintsugi. They are not intending to hide the damage, but to portray the fault lines as beautiful and strong, making the vessel even more valuable than it was before it was broken. Because remember, they're restoring it with this really high quality gold. And that's a very different philosophy from the disposable Western culture in which I grew up, where things are mass produced. And then when they break or get worn out, you just throw them away or get another one, like relationships. The Eastern philosophy is much more in alignment with heaven's philosophy about our brokenness. You are not disposable, and neither are your relationships. Your brokenness is valuable. Your vulnerability to say, I'm sorry first, to make it right first, is really valuable. It's priceless. It's not something to be hidden from the world or covered up in shame. When we have to apologize, there's no shame in that apology. It's beautiful. When it's filled with this golden lacquer of our true identity, God can use it to change the world. Brokenness in God's hands is a shortcut to destiny. So we can make it right. Be the gold for someone else's broken places. Apologize. If you are responsible for the conflict in your relationship, whichever relationship it is, apologize. Picture it as placing gold over someone's life. It's beautiful. Okay, so now let's talk about point two. What if the other person is responsible for the conflict? And this is actually why I think most people found that little post so validating, because a lot of us have felt wronged in some way or another. I heard a concept recently where someone was discussing being God defended. We live in a world where we feel like we have to constantly defend ourselves, stand up for ourselves, make somebody pay for what they've done to us. We live in a world where we are so offended all the time. But let me tell you about God. He loves defending his kids. When we've been wronged, when someone else is responsible for the conflict, sometimes it's just best to surrender it to God and let him handle it. God always has good intentions toward his children, and that's something that we can be absolutely sure of. Sometimes I want to excuse my response to a hurt by minimizing my reaction to it, right? But anytime I take matters into my own hands without first taking them to God, I'm at the risk of violating these really important words where he says, this is in the Bible, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord. Does that mean that I never speak up or I never confront? Of course not. What it does mean, though, is that I have to seek first God's cleansing of my own heart so that in my anger or my hurt or my confusion or in my sense of rejection or violation, I don't respond in a way that doesn't bring him honor or that my future self wouldn't be proud of. So identifying how we commonly respond in hurtful situations will help us frame better responses and healthier perspectives. If we are going to let God be our defender, we have to understand the difference between someone unfairly hurting us and someone who simply has like style issues. Whatever wrong, hurt, or injustice I face, that initial experience marks the start of a journey toward a place where I can rest fully in having God as my defender. It's a journey with a lot of ups and downs, right? It's a journey in which I have to face some really uncomfortable truths about myself a lot. And we don't always get to have closure when all the wrongs and the hurts get resolved. But when I was honest with myself and saw this point in my journey, I was honest with my relationship with God, something shifted. I became missional to discover his place as my defender. So let's be honest with ourselves. When the conflict in a relationship is someone else's fault and not ours, is revenge or defense our highest priority, or is God? That's what I want us to be asking ourselves. Is revenge or defense our highest priority, or is God our highest priority? I want to tell you a story to end our episode together today. It's from my friend Jackie's ebook, and it's called The Heart Work. Listen to what she says about conflict. I had this person in my life that always accused me of terrible intentions. And every conversation I had with this person was strained and uncomfortable because of hurt and unforgiveness. Every encounter always deteriorated into them verbally attacking my identity and destiny. You're not a good person, they would say. You're a liar. And one day you're going to get what's coming to you. A long time ago, I had hurt this person with my behavior. And so when I interacted with them, even though I was much different than the person I used to be, I always felt like I could not object to their verbal abuse. When I got off the phone with them, I always felt defeated. And this was someone I was stuck in a relationship with, whether I liked it or not. Most of the time, I could just shake it off what they said. But this one time when I hung up the phone, I began to cry. I've had enough, I thought. I began to complain to God about how I was being mistreated. I told him how I just couldn't take it anymore. And that's when he said to me, "Is it true?" "Is what true?" I responded. "What they just said about you, is it true?" He gently replied. I calmed down and realized what he was asking me, and then my heart got stronger. "No, it isn't true," I said confidently. "Then why don't you believe it?" he said matter-of-factly. Wow, why did I not believe it? What part of my heart still thought I was a bad person for what I had done so many years ago? I realized through this divine question that I had never fully forgiven myself for these past mistakes. And once I did, this person's accusations never bothered me again. So as you go forward, remember when things come to attack your identity in relational conflict, and they will, you can get out your forgiveness receipts. Not today, Satan. I have forgiven others and God has forgiven me, and you've got to get out. If that doesn't work and it still bothers you, offends you, or sends you into a downward spiral into old habits and patterns, it's because you still believe in some place in your heart that it's true. listen to this. What bothers and offends us is always about us. And what I mean by that are the things that still hurt you are showing you an unhealed part of your heart, a place there's still an active and infected heart wound. The lie, so the root, must be discovered and pulled out so our new roots can grow even deeper into God's unconditional love for us in that area of our life. We have to build our new lives on the solid foundation of truth, which is Jesus and his love for us. When we do that, nothing that anybody else does or says matters. No storm that comes our way will be able to shake our foundations. Jesus said, "These are the words I speak to you. They're not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living." This is Matthew 7:24. They're foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. The rain poured, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. And this is why self-help and psychology philosophies never work for very long, right? They might give us some good sounding information that appeals to our ego or our innate desire to fix ourselves, but they don't have the power to really set us free. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the truth isn't just a book, it's a person. It's Jesus himself. You cannot have the truth about yourself or your life without him. Other methods and teachings can expose our wounds by teaching us the art of self-introspection, right? The laws of attraction and other forms of transcendentalism, but they can't really heal our wounds because they did not shed their blood for that healing. Wow. Thank you, Jackie. Y'all, I pray that you would live free. Live free of relational conflict, that as far as it depends on you, you can live at peace with everyone. So apologize if you need to, surrender if you need to, ask God to remove the hurt from your heart if you've been wronged without the apology. Remember, he saw too. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Megan Recommends, just a little place where we share things that are making our world a little sweeter in hopes that they will make your world a little sweeter, too. Usually, if there's a guest, I recommend listening to them, but for two more weeks, it's just me and you. So today, what do I recommend? You already know. I recommend apologizing. Make the phone call, send the text, ask to meet, do your part to make it right. We don't know what healing hangs in the balance for the other person of us eliminating our ego and selfishness and making it right. I know we can do it. Let's be those people.